You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona, as Mr. John Eisenhower comes climbing down his eucalyptus tree. You can get on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you'd like to talk trees, it's the second Saturday of the month, and we have ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower and guests. You've loaded up the studio this morning.
I did. All three of us came sliding down that eucalyptus tree this morning. I got my friends Steve Preeb and Donna DeFrancesco coming in studio with us today. These two guests of mine are good friends going back. We were just trying to remember when we met many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Probably over 25 years ago, I think. And we had a wonderful time of kind of training together. You know, I learned a lot from Steve and Donna. They're kind of my mentors in many respects. They've got a wealth of knowledge and history. They're both horticulturists, arborists.
Oh, stop.
No.
He became the teacher, right?
Yes. He took it to another level. Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Oh, every ACTC event they have. Steve and Donna are there. Every A&A event, every ALCA event. I see y'all everywhere. But you may not know this, John. Their influence goes well beyond landscaping.
What?
I have flat two in my home because I've learned about flat twoing at your property when y'all built that home.
Yes.
And you took the pecan leaves and etched it into your concrete countertop.
Brought those leaves indoors.
So yeah. I didn't do leaves.
You didn't do leaves. What'd you do?
I did brands. I got a friend of mine had a Cattleman brand book from the early 1900s, and I just flipped through there and picked out random cattle brands.
Now, you're going to have to explain that to your listeners. Now, what is this technique?
So, I guess I should. So it's just a way of doing designs into decorative concrete.
They would call it a tattoo for a flat surface, hence the name flat two. But yeah, they would etch, you know, make kind of like a stencil and then etch the concrete. And it would just be a very subtle image that you'd have on your concrete.
It is so cool. And when I went in and saw that for the first time in their house, you know, they it's just a showpiece. You know, they love to bring in and show you the pecan kind of into the surface of their countertop. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. Thank you both.
Yeah. Thank you.
So it's nice to have these authorities standing by today to weigh in on all of our monthly topics. We've got a tree of the month this month is the hop seed or the hop bush, which is it's kind of a shrub, but like some of our trees we have on our kind of most favorite list, we love these trees that can be adapted to a small area. And hop bush can be get up to 15 feet tall. Mm-hmm. But they're just a wonderful screening plant. And I'm going to let Steve kind of talk a little bit more about this because Donna was telling me earlier that he's has a little information about
the
hops.
He's the botanist, you know, he gets into those little details. So.
Where to start?
What do you like about them?
Well, I like their look. I like their, you know, that their versatile use. You can use them as a screen, you know, things like that in the landscape. But, you know, occurs all over the world as a native. It's a native to Australia, and there are like seven different subspecies in Australia. So, I think that a lot of different cultures have used this plant. It could be medicinal. It's used for building in other cultures and things like that. So,
and
very
he had a
dense
good story
wood.
Of why they called it the hop seed bush.
Yeah, in Australia, they used that the fruits from it. To use in beer making before they had hops.
Yeah.
I thought it was called that just because the pods looked a little like hops, but
they are pretty
it truly
cool
was
little,
used.
Little seeds and little flowers that develop on them. But I just like them because they are a nice alternative to your oleander or mm-hmm. some of your other screening plants that we have.
Yeah.
They can be a little frost sensitive, but if they're mature and established, they tend to bounce back just like other Small shrubs that get a little bit frost damaged, you know, they can bounce back pretty quick.
And you had referenced them as an alternative to oleanders. Looking at the hot bush, they seem like they would be a less water-consuming plant over an oleander.
Absolutely, because they are native to Arizona. We do have some up in the kind of our high desert areas up above 2,000 feet. In fact, I saw some up hunting recently this last year. It's kind of nice to come across them out in the high desert areas up near Apache Lake. There's a really nice picture that Dr. Chris Martin has on his little website regarding hop seeds taken in the Superstitions. And they're beautiful, glorious, kind of a bright green plant. So when you see them in our high desert, they kind of stand out. They're not quite as light colored as our ironwoods and the Palaverdes, but they're a nice dark green, lush color, which is nice too. And for if you like that evergreen, if you want an evergreen shrub that doesn't get kind of out of control, you might want to look at the hop seed. One other type of variety is the purpurea. It's got a
Kind of bronzy, purpley leaves.
Right,
on
in
those.
The colder weather, the leaves will turn a little bit purplish colored, and you'll see them in the landscape quite often and know that that's the variety that they've chosen. So, yeah, look into the hop seed if you're looking for that small shrub, small tree, a large shrub that you want to give you a little accent in your landscape.
Yeah, it doesn't have a really spectacular flower, but the fruits are really cool because they start out being kind of blonde, but then they can get some red tints to them, and so it's really cool that way, too. That's the spectacular part of it.
You'll see some beautiful specimens of this plant at Boyce Thompson Arboretum. Just spectacular. Like you're saying, they just can be striking when they're, especially with the seed heads on them. So, yeah, good option.
Yeah, good stuff.
You could not have picked a harder place to go pick out a plant than Boyce Thompson Arboretum.
To not be wowed by something, you mean, and go, oh, look at that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, look at that. Yes, they have gorgeous specimens. They have some huge trees out there, so it's a great place to definitely check out trees. So definitely.
Yeah, they've got some great plant sales up there as well. So whenever you have their plant sales on, it's nice place to go up there and look around and come home with a few plants for your yard. So trees are our tips of the month. This is your time of year to be trimming your deciduous trees and shrubs. There's a little nip in the air even this morning going out. Be aware that, of course, you need to be protecting your plants from frost this time of year, being sure that if you do cover them, you cover them all the way to the ground so that you provide a little bit of a canopy there so that the air inside your cover.
Now, I've seen two theories on that. One, you just let it hang to the ground, and the other one is tied around the trunk. Do you let it hang or do you tie yours?
You want to let it hang. You want it to go down at the drip line right to the ground and provide a little bit of a bell canopy over the top and try to seal that bottom. You want the air and humidity, the temperature and the humidity inside the cover to be higher than it is outside. So you want even a couple degrees difference could mean the difference of the plant surviving or not. Of course, if you tie it to the base of the tree, there's going to be very little difference at all between the temperature inside and out. You want that to go to the ground because this is a ground that often provides that humidity. They recommend sometimes even a little bit of watering in anticipation of the frost coming. Deep soaking around your plants, and then you're going to provide that moisture and that humidity that could really help to keep them safe.
What type of material do you like to use for covering?
Just the frost cloth that they provide. You can buy it at a hardware store. It's designed specifically for that. It's lightweight, easy to use, and it also traps the. You don't want to put a plastic on. Even a sheet material can be used in a pinch. Throw some old bed sheets.
See that often.
I know. I think it's kind of cute when they use the old bed sheets.
Go.
You know, little flowers on there and stuff.
Yeah, a few little lights inside might help too. If you really are getting a deep frost, put a little floodlight inside there. Something that'll generate a little bit of heat.
It's one of those unique materials that for desert dwellers, it's not something we need often enough.
No.
So at those random cold snaps, they do come. Any frost cloth that's in hardware store lasts about 3 minutes before it's sold out. So then you get your bed sheets
out. They go
out,
fast. Yeah, they do go fast.
And it might be worth mentioning that a lot of these things work well when the temperature is right around 32, 30. If it gets below that, which we have had, but we don't have often, as you just mentioned, there might not be much that you can do if it's going to be down in the 20s for several hours.
Yeah.
I know that at some nurseries, they, you know, this is overtime opportunity for some of their workers. They're just out all night watering. Yeah. You would think that that would be the exact opposite of what you want to do at below freezing temperatures, but they're out there watering to keep the freeze. I've heard a lot of the old orchard citrus groves, mm-hmm. when those freezes would come, the helicopter pilots, you know, they'd get out there and just circle all night long, keeping that moving air
circulating. Air moving. Yeah.
And
yeah.
lighten up salamanders.
None of, yeah.
yeah. Those heaters, yes. Yeah.
None of them very practical to a homeowner.
Yeah.
No. But so far, so good. And usually danger of frost is about February 15th. Is what we
Yeah, the average is about February 15th. Yeah. You know, certain cities are a little bit cooler and longer, so you want to kind of look at your calendar and see.
Right.
There's a county website that'll tell you, look up frost average, last day of frost in Maricopa County, and you'll find that online. Because Mesa might be different than Gilbert, might be different than Scottsdale, might be different than Peoria. So it ranges between February 15th and March 15th. The reason I mention that is because you want to pull your frost cloth off on February 15th and find out you have a deep frost later, you know, as late as March. But as you're getting closer to those dates, you know, just be looking at the weather forecast. If we don't have a risk of frost, you know, in the next couple of weeks, you can feel free to start pulling your frost cloth off, and of course, starting to do the trimming out of the dead wood and the dead material. If you have some dead frost damaged branches on your trees and shrubs, just leave it in there for a couple more months. It does provide a little bit additional insulation from any cold we might have. You don't want to cut it back now.